It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on The Score.
This hour on The Score is brought to you by Shelton Fireworks, home of the big ones. Before we get to what happened at last night's White Sox game, I was not aware that there was 13 home runs in a 9-inning game. Shep told me about it this morning. What did you think of John Morosi's answer on whether or not baseball considers that a problem? And he's like, I don't think people complain.
He's right.
About home runs.
He's right. We needed 1998 as much as people wanted to wring hands and gnash teeth and pound their fist on the pulpit for years after. It repaired a lot of damage that was caused. A lot of people thought at the time irreparable damage in 94 from the player's strike. So what brought people back to the game was seeing the ball leave the yard at a record pace. And two guys chasing 70 home runs in the same season. People liked that. Because it's fun. Runs are fun.
It's what made me fall in love with baseball, but I was 11, 12 years old, so I had no idea. I was like, oh, this is cool. Is baseball always like this? Like, it wasn't out of place at all for me because it was just exciting and it felt legitimate. You weren't as skeptical of your stars. I think the difference, though, is that with the home runs, whenever it's not a home run, it feels like it's a strikeout. That there isn't the in-between of ball in play.
Okay.
Action.
And what's wrong with that? If your pitcher is accruing 11 of them, say, man, did you see Giolito the other day? He whiffed 11 guys. Or last time, Kyle Hendricks had a bunch of strikeouts.
Yeah, there's something different about it when it's your starter who's a name than when a rotation is combining for 15.
When Randy Rosario is striking out the side.
Exactly. Yeah. For whatever, so you could say it's wrong. Yeah. That's kind of how it feels. And it's like, okay, it's a walk, it's a strikeout, it's a home run. And so there's all of this time between the ball being put in play, and then there's just a lot of standing around.
Never have minded strikeouts. It's a humiliating thing for the player who strikes out, and it's a glorious thing if you're the guy who gets him. And, you know, if you're on the wrong side of it, it hurts. If you're on the right side of it, it feels damn good. Home runs and strikeouts both work for me.
It's not as humiliating anymore, though, to strike out.
No.
The stigma isn't attached to it nearly as much as it was. I think because what Viscurgeon said was I didn't really care why it was happening, but he's interested, but it's happening and he likes home runs. All right, fine. But is there a point where there's too much? Is there a point where it could be, God, there are not enough balls in play
for this
sport?
What NFL game did people go gaga over this
Chiefs
past
Rams.
NFC? The Chiefs-Rams National Island game because there were 104 points scored.
There's just
same thing, Danny. People like action.
Action, exactly. And I would say in baseball, between the home runs, there's a lot of inaction.
All right, so what do you want to do? You want to move the mound back 4 feet, 6 feet, 10 feet? What's the right mound distance for you? Because that's going to cut down on strikeouts, and it's going to increase home runs.
Yeah, I don't know that that is the solution to the problem.
You want to lower the mound again? They've gone back and forth over the years. You lower it, you raise it, you lower it, you raise it again.
Yeah, listen, I have no idea. This is, again, more like identifying a problem than a solution. I just know that when I'm watching, there's a lot of time between action. And it's not like the only action can be home runs. A good triple, split the gap, a play at the plate.
That's baseball, though. That's baseball. Baseball is allowed to breathe without a clock. That's supposed to be part of the joy of the game. And I'm not saying I enjoy all of it either, but it does afford me the opportunity, which some other sports don't, to do other things, to multitask, to look at my phone,
right,
to talk to my kids, to whatever else I might be doing.
I can't talk to my kids during a football game. That's ridiculous. You want to hang out as a family?
Football's fairly good at it, too, because you have a lot of of downtime between plays. Now, I'm one of those dorks who likes to watch as soon as the team breaks the huddle what the formation is going to be, and I want to see a defense, and I get really pissy when I get a director who wants to give me tight shots on the quarterback's face, and I don't know what the defense is set in. So I want to see all of that stuff.
I
still get time, but baseball affords you a ton of time for it.
A ton of time. I think there is. It's an interesting point where the game is, where right now the best way to win is not, to me, the thing that's most conducive to a visibly entertaining product on the field. We're uppercut. We're launch angle swinging. We're throwing high in the strike zone. Strikeouts are okay. It's not about putting the ball in play. It's not about stolen bases. It's not about hit and runs. And it's, we're going to elevate the ball and we're going to hit home runs, and that's the best way to win, but it's not necessarily the thing that leads to the most action. Most of the time in sports, you would think that the thing that leads you to the best chance at winning is also the thing that's the most visually appealing for the game, the most aesthetically pleasing. But I think we're seeing a lot of it. Same thing in basketball and the three-pointer. They're like, I miss back-to-the-basket post-play. I miss big man domination. Well,
I'm among those.
Okay, well, the way to win is three-point shooting. But the thing that you enjoy more is back to the basket.
Well, I like it both ways. I like a team that can win from the perimeter and play an inside game.
Okay, but so to use football. I think that there's a common theme throughout all of these sports right now. And you could say it's analytics or whatever. You mentioned the Rams-Chiefs game. It's passing. Todd Gurley doesn't get 20 carries a game. That ground and pound type of thing. It's gone.
I know.
And you could say that maybe that would be more visually appealing, more old school, whatever the case may be. But I think in all of those sports, we're seeing what is the best way to win is not the thing that is the most pure for the game.
I watched Jordan Howard get met by a defender before or at the point of attack enough times to admit that that is not always the most visually appealing sports stimulus.
Hopefully David Montgomery will change a little bit of that, but, you know, don't hold your breath. Last night, I was not...
a shot at David Montgomery before he's even padded up for the first time. That's not a very nice start.
More of a shot at just the idea that they're going to be committed to running the ball 15 to 20 times with anyone back.
You know who moved up for him in the draft? About 13 slots, 14 slots?
Ryan Pace.
Ryan Pace did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Worship David Montgomery.
I'm sure he's going to be great.
He's a Pacean.
Listen, it's not about him. It's just if you want the Bears to have a workhorse back, I don't think Matt Nagy's your guy. Now,
I don't either.
Now, Kareem Hunt did lead the league in rushing under him when he was the play caller, but
they didn't need him though.
Didn't need him. David Montgomery's going to be this team's Kareem Hunt, except, you know, a good person. That's what they're going for.
We hope.
Did you see the highlight at the Sox game
Of
the lady who took the foul ball?
I'm going to the Sox game Thursday night. I'm at the point where I would not want to sit in those seats anymore, and I don't have to. There's nothing that ties me to those seats. My friend who has season tickets at Guaranteed Rate Field. I did it again. It took me a second to say it.
You got there, though. Very impressive.
We're protected, so I don't worry about that. Going Thursday night, they're expensive seats. Yankees are in town. Might as well go see a good game. They're $57 or something like that for real good seats, I think in 131. So
that's expensive.
We're living good.
I mean, I'm sure it's a great section.
Sit in those seats that are unprotected anymore, I don't think. I don't have to. I don't want to. I don't know why teams aren't taking it upon themselves to act. Baseball certainly doesn't seem to be of the mindset to mandate any of the extra netting that needs to be deployed. And something that happened in the Cubs-Rockies game that I always have found terribly disturbing, and it was in the same God bless it at bat from Carlos Gonzalez when his bat went flying into the stands. Same at bat, twice.
Yeah. I mean, that used to be Addison Russell's issue, that he couldn't hold on to the bat at all and it would keep flying around. Yeah. Now, it's not going as fast as a baseball, but, you know, it's a bat. It could do quite a bit of damage.
Yes. Yes, it could. And it could kill you.
Yeah. Yes, it could. And the ball is the only thing, right, that has killed someone in a baseball game,
There was an older fan in Los Angeles a few years ago.
Right.
She was an older woman who was in failing health anyway, so who knows? But yes, the ball ultimately was what did her in.
Yeah, it was the final straw, if you will. But yeah, there's just...
it's only happened once. What makes you think it's going to happen? Well, okay, you run the risk of putting your patrons, you know, in danger. I would take better care of my patrons.
Do you think there's not as much attention on what happened last night because it was not a child? Because it wasn't
that has a lot to do with it. Sure, this goes back to the conversation we had
after,
and that is how important visuals are. How I wanted the Cubs broadcast crew that night on Almora's Foul Ball to show it to me. Don't sanitize my news. A fan is injured. This four-year-old is being taken out of a ballpark. Last night, not a child, so, oh, no harm, no foul. They shouldn't have been on their phones, probably. That's how a lot of people react to it.
It's just odd. Okay, so it's not a kid, it's not the Cubs, so it's not a story, but there was still a woman who was bleeding at a baseball game because she took a baseball in foul territory in a good seat trying to enjoy herself. Like, seems like that should still cross the threshold of newsiness.
One would think.
Right?
What do you want to do about it?
Well,
what should we do? Who is the right person to call with the White Sox today?
Well, in theory,
they're all there. It's, you know, they got a home game tonight. Everybody's around. Who can represent, who can speak for the White Sox? We'll get the executive producer down the hallway and around the corner. Nick Shepkowski back.
Have him come into the kitchen. Get his steps in.
Pop
and then
on
run
in.
Back.
Shep, who's available? Who would be? Would it be Brooks Boyer who could address these things? Is that
he usually speaks on it? We've got Jed Hoyer on Thursday. I'm starting to think about it. Right?
Yeah, but this happened at a Sox game last night.
No, I understand, but I'm saying, is it even a fair question to ask the baseball general manager? Because that feels to me like it's more a business operation,
operation. Bob Grimm is the business operations manager for the White Sox. Shep, you back there blowing a call to Bob Grimm. Tell him it's Mackey and tell him everything is good between us these days and he should come on the show to talk about what his team is doing to protect its fans.
I'm with you. And the same thing would happen, it would be for Crane, Kenny, and the Cubs, right? Like, I guess I don't understand why individual baseball teams are waiting to have it be mandated from the commissioner's office.
I don't either.
You've already sold your season tickets. You don't have to put up a disclaimer for being behind the net. It's not like your Section 131 tickets have a disclaimer that says you're behind a net on them. It's not like you'd have to go into agreement with your season ticket holders over there. I really don't get it.
You hit it on the head. It wasn't a child. The woman who died in Los Angeles was in her 80s. You know what
So the kid needed to die?
The reaction is, it's what it took hockey to do something. It was a 10-year-old girl in Columbus in the 614 who played hockey. In a moment, Linda Cohn encapsulated so just a tremendous bit of reporting and editorializing as a woman who played college hockey and loves hockey and heard the whole story and met the family of that little girl who was a hockey player who lost her life. That's what it took for the NHL to put up additional nets to protect its fans.
I just believe so much when you're thinking about a problem to try to be process-oriented instead of just playing the results. That just doesn't seem logical to me that kid hit by foul ball, rushed to hospital.
What are we doing about this?
But kid hit by foul ball, killed.
Yes.
Most of us, I assume, agree the nets would have been extended by now, right?
So we're waiting for the first...
Is that what it is?
Fatality of a...
Of a child?
Of a child.
That's so weird.
Where do we set the cutoff date?
What
child is valuable enough where we would change rules? 14 too old, right? Because they're starting to be idiots to their parents.
Well, they'd be on their phones.
Right, they're on their phones.
They'd be on Snapchat.
Damn kids. So we got to go younger than that.
Okay,
right?
So
10?
It's got to be
make a 10?
A 10-year-old's
right,
child.
A 10-year-old before innocence is lost.
Maybe with a glove watching the game.
Yeah.
It's just so bizarre to me that it feels so obvious that that is the discussion that's happening. Well, you know, this is an acceptable cost. Okay. Then you are playing with fire. You are just running a risk. And all of the individual teams have the same thing. It happened at the Astros game. The Astros should be being asked the exact same questions. Individual teams do not need to wait for Major League Baseball to make a decision on their own stadium.
No, they don't have to wait for anything. You can do whatever you want with your park, especially things that make it safer. I think most of your fans would favor it. Those who don't, they can sit elsewhere.
Yeah, sit in the bleachers.
Or they can not go at all.
Yeah.
Just give them another reason to not go.
Well, that's what they're worried about. That is what they're worried about. You joke, but they think that it will cost them money.
They're wrong. They're absolutely wrong.
I think so, too.
Those great seats open up. Someone will scoop them up.
But I'm saying even if it's you're down the line, you're in right
field.
Well,
I know those are still great seats.
Sure.
Some would regard those as great seats. You couldn't get me out of bed to sit past third base.
Of course. Of course. Well, but they're not filled now with no net, so people don't think that they would be filled if you then put a net up, right? At a lot of stadiums, they're not filled now. But it could be empty with a net or it could be empty without a net. I would choose empty with a net.
I also would favor wholeheartedly baseball penalizing players who can't keep the bat in their hands and it flies into the stands. If you can't keep it, you lose your bat is one thing. If it goes into the stands, you're out.
See,
that's a game ejection for me.
See,
you're a professional hitter.
I don't want to punish players for what is clearly inadvertent. Just like Albert Almora should not be punished for the result of that foul ball hitting a kid.
Well, no, but the bat out of your hands? I don't know.
What do you mean
it slipped?
It slipped. It was an accident. I don't know.
Next time, be more careful. Come on. It shouldn't slip.
You would think it shouldn't slip, but it does.
In what other profession does somebody have the right? It slipped. If guys are on a scaffolding
and
a guy's hammer falls down because he didn't have it secured properly, he just let it sit there on the scaffold, and he kicked it, and it hits a guy's head six stories down, and it hits him, it slipped. He doesn't, no, you are wrong, sir. You're the one who lost your hammer.
I'm not an expert on scaffolding. Also not an expert.
Do you know what scaffolding is?
Yes, I know what scaffolding is. Thank you.
I was trying to keep it simple.
No, you kept it very simple. My Eagle Scout father would be proud. I know what scaffolding is. No, but I guess I'm thinking of a sports analogy. If a running back runs out of bounds, he's in pads, and there's an old timer up there holding a boom microphone or something, and he collides with them. It's like you're on the field. It could happen
on the field.
Yeah,
The bat is not on the field. The bat's in the stands. When the bat goes in the stands, that's when it's punishable for me.
Right. But in theory, the net should be able to protect
all of that. Yes,
right? That's what I'm saying. The net would solve all of these problems.
And then I'm not jumping up and down again wondering why Carlos Gonzalez is cute last night at Coors Field and his former teammates ducking down behind the pole, getting behind the fencing. And Cargo.
Don't
want to call him Gonzo. That's reserved for Mark Gonzalez. My guy, he's giggling about it. It's funny. It's all funny until some fan gets knocked unconscious by the barrel of a flying bat.
That would be less funny.
Yes.
This segment brought to you by Rental Max, Chicagoland's equipment rental contractors and industrial businesses. Will you need rent reliable equipment tomorrow? Visit or call one of their 8 Chicago area locations staffed with experienced rental equipment experts, and Rental Max will deliver to your site on time, on budget. Visit rentalmax.com. People want to weigh in on this, and we got calls out everywhere. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. I love those Bears 100 montages.
You get chills, don't you?
They're great.
Especially the Hester ones.
I do enjoy that.
Your favorite player in Bears history.
Probably is. Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, and Khalil Mack. We're going to hear from all of them today in Mark Grody's Bears Report in 2 hours.
Fellow Tidesman.
That snitch, Mark Grody.
Yeah, he's a rat. Someone texted and said he's not a rat because I mentioned early in the show, I asked you if you minded if I vaped yesterday. So Grody can't be a rat. I don't even remember doing that.
I guess that was on the air.
Okay.
I thought it was off the air, too. See, we're just having a four-hour
conversation.
I know, that's
what it is. Well, we're in my garage. We're in my dream garage. That's where we're broadcasting from. That's why it sounds like we're at a remote where nobody's attending. We've done those before. We'll probably do a few again.
I hope so. That'd be a nice change. Yeah, there is no one in here. It's spacious. And it's odd, too, that there's no engineer. Like, Tanny has us in good hands, but back in the normal control room. So we're not looking at anybody in here.
We have the luxury of being able to keep talking, and we have to stay dialed in. They don't have that luxury, and they have nothing to look at other than a destroyed control. You saw the air studio.
Sad.
My God, what Les can do to a joint, huh?
Yeah, the end of the
era. It didn't
look
like that yesterday. But they have to sit in there, and they have to dial in and listen to every word and can't be as, occasionally not pay attention a little bit, which is going to happen. I've produced shows.
Of course.
I know how it works. Can imagine what 5 hours was like for those two.
Yeah.
So imagine we've kept – it's a crazy thing we've kept them.
They do a better show sometimes than we're doing a better show, probably always, because they can curse and make fun of us. So, I don't know how
– and we'll get to some of that a little bit later on, making fun of us.
Oh, good.
Not necessarily from Shep and Tanny, but they have some stuff put aside from last week.
Oh, good, good. Well, you mentioned Les. We apparently have an epic call from the overnights. If you would like to hear one of them, I haven't heard it, but I hear.
Should I take a Dramamine first?
I'm not sure if this will be an upper or a downer, but this is Les Grobstein. You know, if you lament the lack of calls sometimes on some of the daytime shows, Les Grobstein's show is for you. Let's hear the interaction.
Next up, we're going to go to the Quad Cities. Hi, Doug.
Good morning, Les.
Good morning to you.
I wanted to give my thoughts on Darvish. You know what I've thought all year long. And I think he's close to turning the corner. He's right on the edge. The thing is, he kept his team in the game tonight. Now, did he pitch well? I don't know if he pitched well.
Had a 4-0 lead, but unfortunately, the Rockies came right back and tied it.
Right, right.
But that's Coors Field. Coors Field, a 4-0 lead is not safe, especially in the second or third inning.
Right, right. Well, as I said, he's right there. You know, what I would love to see him, people seem to forget. I hear a lot of callers, you know, oh, he's trash. Well, if you would have saw the Yu Darvish that was in Texas his first few years, about first 3 years, this guy was among the best pitchers in baseball, a perennial Cy Young candidate.
And at times he was lights out when he was with the Dodgers, but people recall a couple of the games that he started in the World Series against Houston, and he got lit up pretty good.
Badly, very badly. So hopefully he can turn the corner. I think the Cubs, their next thing, they have to go out and get a left-handed relief pitcher. And that'll probably be a trade. So who, I have no idea. But they need to get a
left-handed reliever. Do not mention a certain guy who plays left field, otherwise the conversation's over.
What's that?
I said don't mention a certain left fielder, former catcher, or the conversation's over.
What are you talking about?
Don't mention that one of the things that they would trade for the left-handed relief pitcher would be Schwarber.
I didn't even mention that. What are you talking about?
I'm going to make sure you don't, because I told other people. Anybody else texts us about him, it's the end of the conversation. So I had to bring it up because I've mentioned
it. He's as hot as anybody on the team right now.
That's right, but there's still people who want to see him dealt away. There's people that are idiots out there.
Well, I don't think.
All right, just move on. You don't want
that
to talk about. Just move on.
Well, I didn't even bring it up last.
All right, end of a conversation. We'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks for checking in. I'm not here to get into an argument with you. That's Doug in the Quad Cities. 312-644-6767.
We got to find Doug. We have to find Doug.
I mean, Doug took a minute to get to his point, but Les started an argument that he wasn't even having.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm with Les. Let's not trade Schwarber, but man.
Do not mention a certain guy who plays left field, otherwise the conversation's over.
And he didn't mention the guy.
Which makes it easy.
I think our caller in the Quad Cities was a little bit put. He thought Les was being accusatory when he really wasn't. Les was just saying, well, he was, and it took him a while to get to who he was talking about. It was Kyle Schwarber about whom he was alluding to. And he says, you're an idiot if you want to trade Kyle Schwarber. No, that doesn't make one an idiot, Les. That just means they disagree with you.
What are you talking about?
Don't mention that one of the things that they would trade for the left-handed relief pitcher would be Schwarber.
I didn't even mention that. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? And then Les got all curled up on him. They curled up on each other unnecessarily. What time did that call roll in? Around 4?
It feels like a 4 a.m.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, maybe 3:30. Yeah, that's the end. Les is getting mad. He's getting a little tired. He's ready to go home. The guy's been on for 6.5 hours.
Oh, goodness. Wow.
That is incredible. We have a problem. We want to get into this. We have a problem with arguing against straw men in sports. We construct things that don't exist, and then we fight against them.
Well,
I'm just saying, like, it happened a lot with this Kevin Durant story. People are, oh, this should really stop the conversation about the Warriors being better without Kevin Durant. Who said that? Nobody. Now, maybe someone on Twitter. But no reputable person, no Warrior executive, no Raptor executive, no NBA reporter, nobody was like, you know, you take the best player on the planet off of this team, you know what they are?
Yeah.
Better at basketball.
Right.
But then everybody comes out and they're like, well, the value of Kevin Durant, all these people saying that they're better without him. Who are you talking about? We have a tendency to do this.
The vocal minority.
But in that case, I honestly...
Well, it's easy to push back against idiocy, though, isn't it? Isn't it easy to pound away and throw haymakers at the stupid prevailing thought, even though it only represents a fraction of the population?
Well, just because something is easy does not mean that it should be done.
Sometimes it needs to be done.
Does it? I really felt like that was a completely fabricated straw man around Kevin Durant, and that's been talked about for honestly.
Aren't we trying to hold baseball and its 30 clubs accountable? That's why we keep hitting. It seems like an obvious, and you know, we don't want it to be somebody we know. We don't want it to be our city that first has a fatality.
Well, but that's
of
not
an infant.
I see what you're saying, but the kid actually got hit. They actually did not extend the nets.
Right.
And Rob
right.
Manfred actually said it can't happen in season.
Yeah.
So those are all factual things that happened.
And 10% of the people think they don't you dare touch my park.
Sure.
90% of the people think it's common sense. So we have to fight against the 10% of idiots.
Right. You have to fight against the minority opinion. But at least like the person in power has come out and said we're not extending it. Now, I honestly want to know, what NBA analyst said the Warriors were better without Kevin Durant? Who are they talking about? Is it on? Is that what we're doing?
Texters, one of the texters is suggesting ESPN analysts were saying, be specific, please, 708.
I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
Like I watch a lot of it. I consume a ton of it on social media. I would love to know which talking head said it. And by the way, even if it was one, even if it was Chauncey Billups. Like even if one person said it, then call out Chauncey Billups by name. Don't be like, there's this prevailing thought that the Warriors are better without Kevin Durant. No, there isn't. No, there isn't.
Right. Be specific.
Be specific with your criticism and don't extrapolate it out to be the majority of the basketball consuming universe.
Here's a text. Parkins just summed up Bernstein's career.
I just hate Strawman so much. Who are you talking
That's
about?
That's funny.
It's ridiculous.
I miss my guy, Dan Bernstein. I never see him anymore, hardly.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, never here. With all this construction going on, everybody's disenfranchised. We don't even see our producers anymore, other than a show meeting.
We have a good podcast going, though, right now.
It feels like a podcast.
It really
Jim.
Does. I can't see the screen because this place is
well,
so
that's big. All you need to do is tip it a little bit toward you. It is one of those pedestal mounts. It will turn.
All right. Well,
so look, sex. Go to Europe.
Fridge shirt. Sweetness shirt.
All right. All right, those are my guys, Bernstein and McKnight in the I'm Fat podcast. We've got a Warriors expert reporter from radio.com who's going to join us. You want to hear the perspective of the panic in the
Absolutely,
Bay Area?
Absolutely, sure.
All right, we'll go out there next on The Score.
If anyone watched the last 3 years of basketball, you saw this man was the Finals MVP back-to-back. So all that, those talking heads who say we're better without him, that's just ludicrous. Like, that's crazy. This is the best player in the world. You could put him on the 30th best team in the league, and that team will make the playoffs. That's how talented he is. So we don't even pay any of that, no mind, because with him, we are really one of the greatest teams to ever play. Without him, we're a really good team, but you throw Kevin Durant out there, like I said before, one of the greatest ever. So we don't pay that any attention because that's just stupid. Stupid, because he's a warrior. You saw what he did tonight. He sacrificed his health for us, and we dearly miss him. I mean, it was very deflated to see him go out.
That was Klay Thompson after the game last night. Warriors forcing a game 6, but Kevin Durant being lost for the season and seemingly next season in the process, or at least the majority of it, with an Achilles injury. Still waiting word on the exact severity of it. The bottom of the hour was brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves would like to thank their loyal fans for making this 25th anniversary season so special. Thank you. And they'll see you in October. Joining us now, radio.com sports insider Matt Steinmetz. He covers the Warriors at Steinmetz NBA on Twitter. Matt joins us on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Matt, that really didn't feel like an NBA Finals game after the Durant injury. What was your perception being around that team of how all of that was handled?
Well, I mean, that's a tough question to start because there's a million ways to go, but I appreciate it. As I was pulling out of my driveway today to come to work, I saw my neighbor who's a huge Warrior fan, and I always like to hear what he has to say. And I said, how you feeling? And he goes, I'm not sure. And I'm like, what do you mean? Game six. And he said, yeah, but, you know, the Durant thing, I just don't know really. I mean, yeah, okay, let's go play on Thursday. But as of right now, everybody's kind of, it's muted, I guess, is how I'd answer.
What has been the prevailing feeling in Northern California, your neighbor among them, Matt, about Kevin Durant's toughness and his willingness to play when he's not 100%?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And the reality of the situation is I host a talk radio show here in San Francisco. And for the last couple weeks, one of the themes has been what's going on with KD. Can he play? How serious is this? Where's he at? And it became a daily question. And in the meantime, Kevon Looney was being ruled out for the rest of the NBA Finals, and he returns. DeMarcus Cousins, who tore a quad early in the playoffs, found a way to come back in the finals. So there were just questions, and there was innuendo about all that kind of stuff. Well, he's a free agent, he's leaving anyway, he's not best. I mean, there's a lot behind this. So the fact that he ends up playing and maybe it costs him a year, without being overly dramatic, it's going to change the course of the Warriors' future is what it's going to do, and maybe the league's future, quite frankly.
I think definitely the league's future, given that he's arguably the best player in the league. You said there was innuendo. Was that from anyone legitimate, or is that just people who text and call and maybe tweet your show, or were there legitimate rumblings around the Warriors that were questioning the severity of the injury?
No, I'm mostly talking about the fans and just the man on the street. And because to me, that's really kind of what's most important. And if those people understand kind of the truth, well, that's all the better for everybody, I think. And I was saying for 2 weeks, look, he's hurt. How hurt? I have no idea, but he's hurt enough that he's not playing in game four of the NBA Finals. And this guy, over the course of his entire life, not career, over his life, has done nothing but hang around gyms, playing basketball, wanting to play basketball, doing all that kind of, all that kind of stuff. We also know he's sensitive. He reads everything. He hears everything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he felt pressure in ways we don't understand. And maybe he came back before he should have. I didn't think about this till today, but what does it mean? Like Draymond Green, for example, and I thought it was an innocent comment at the time, and Steph Curry did it too. Even if KD's at 70%, that's better than most players in the NBA. I mean, I don't know. Does that put pressure on Kevin Durant if he knows he's not all the way there, but he might be able to gut it out? I mean, this story's going to linger for a long, long time. Trust me.
Matt, what has been the Warriors' most recent history, this administrative group, in terms of how conservatively it handles medical situations?
Oh, I mean, they're famous for being overly cautious. In fact, you can kind of count on one hand easily the times where a guy maybe came back too soon. And in fact, the Warriors have been so conservative with injuries that they're criticized because they keep their players out longer than they should especially in the regular season, so that they're ready for the postseason. But in the meantime, during the regular season, they get criticized because, you know, maybe Steph Curry isn't playing two or three games, you know, in the middle of February when, yes, if it were the NBA Finals, he'd be playing. So that I think that's a very real thing.
Matt Steinmetz covers the Warriors, radio.com sports insider. Do you expect Kevin Durant to opt in to his contract and come back to the Warriors next year to recover?
I don't believe he's going to be back with the Warriors, but I haven't thought that all year. From the beginning of the year, it just felt like everybody around the NBA a large percentage, I think, are working under the assumption he's going to leave. So that's the only thing I'm kind of basing it on. Things change. Well, let's think about it. If you're the New York Knicks, do you now call Kevin Durant's agent and say, hey, you know that four-year most amount of money contract we could give you guys? That's off the table. Of course not. No chance. They're saying, here's your four. We'll still pay you as much as we possibly can. And, oh, by the way, we have the best doctors in the league, so why don't you just come rehab here? So I don't think he's going to lose any clout on the free agent market. Now, he can opt in for 1 year. He can come back on another one-year contract, which is what he's been playing under. So he could, in theory, say, well, I'm going to miss the whole season, so I may as well take my 31 from the Warriors and rehab around here. And that's very possible, I suspect. But there's so much we don't know about this injury and what he felt within the organization, with the doctors, his relationship. If he knows he's got a year of rehab ahead of him, and the last 30 days were kind of, you know, not being on the same page, well, then I can't see him doing that, if you know what I mean, especially if he knows all he's going to do is rehab. Well, the Warriors then could also say, look, here it is, Supermax, 5 years. We know you're missing all next year, but this is just, here you go. We said it all along. You just, you know, hurt your Achilles. Same number right here. 5 years, the most we can give you. And so maybe he'll take that at that point. We don't know.
What's the timeline for when we're going to get news next, Matt? Have the Warriors said anything?
I'm sorry?
What's the time? When are we going to get news? Have the Warriors said when they're going to be making any announcements on?
Yeah, there's an MRI today, and so they'll take an MRI, then they'll get the results, then they'll put it in front of 129 doctors, and then they'll discuss the 15 things it could be, and they'll whittle it down to the three things it probably is, and then they'll tell guys like you and me. You know what I mean? Like, this is kind of serious around the NBA, to tell you the truth, because
yes, yeah,
the Golden State Warriors general manager was crying at the podium last night.
Yeah, I mean, the best player in the world,
it's a big issue.
Yeah, the best player in the world just suffered a career altering injury ahead of free agency when a ton of teams were going to be after his services. It's certainly a huge deal. Matt Steinmetz at Steinmetz NBA on Twitter, radio.com, sports insider. Thanks for the time, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
That's Matt Steinmetz. Join the Score's Lawrence Holmes June 25th as he hosts Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora Jr. at the Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern in Wrigley for the first luncheon of the 2019 Cubs on Deck series. Tickets are on sale this week at 670thescore.com/ondeck, presented by TimberTech and Xfinity.
So the Warriors, an organization, he says, it treats its players very conservatively. No rush to get back in recent years with all that talent assembled, all that depth. I couldn't help but think that. I don't dismiss any possibility that there was pressure on him to play last night. Not saying I think there was. I think he had pressure from within to play in that game last night. But sure, it occurs to me a medical team, which is conflicted because it's paid by the ownership group to put players on the floor, easily could be induced to say go when maybe they're not convinced it's the right thing. It's happened millions of times.
Not to mention there was local Bay Area reporting, Tim Kawakami, who is basically the John Greenberg equivalent of The Athletic San Francisco. He's their editor-in-chief and columnist.
Does he look like Kevin Pollak, too, like John Greenberg does?
He does not.
Oh, but it's unfortunate for him.
He had wrote a column.
He wrote a column
somewhere. I speak for a living.
He'd written himself a piece.
I talk good. About questioning the severity of it. Sam Amick had some reporting that there were rumblings about Looney came back, Boogie came back. What about Kevin Durant? So it seemed like there was some local rumbling among people from the Warriors. Today, should Kevin Durant give this a go? And if that is the case, if that was sourced reporting, whoever those sources are have to feel absolutely horrible today.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because if that led to the pressure of Kevin Durant trying to play when he wasn't ready, he really hurt himself.
This is big.
Yes, I'm willing to exclusively report.
This is big. I'm glad you got such a kick out of Matt.
This is a big sports story. You know what, Mac? I get the same thing.
Get the same thing. Glad we did that.
Oh, that's one. It's Mac and Park. It's on the Score.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked. High hopes. Streaming on Hulu.